Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Randall Shelton. He describes himself as a 30-year long-developing researcher, slow in fact, in the field of spiritual and paranormal world. And he says that contacting units of consciousness elsewhere is now quite natural to him. And he's published a book called Life on Earth, The Game, A Manual for Those Who Didn't Bring Theirs. So we are obviously going to discuss that. So welcome to the program, Randall.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Well, it's very nice to have you on. I think I'd like to start by asking you, since you're a very slow developer on your own admission, when did you start writing the book?
Oh, the book was started in about the year 2000, as I recall. I was starting to getting material that looked like it belonged something other than in my notebook. And it developed up until 2007 when it was published.
Right. Had you intended to write a book eventually when you did start your research? Was that in mind?
You know, I didn't even realize I was in research when I first started. What my wife and I were doing was actually going through the journey of talking to psychics and being in groups that were open and curious and willing to ask questions and go with various modes of connection. And it was an amazing adventure that Linda and I went through.
Right. So I gather that the paranormal world was of interest to you. Is that also included in the book, or is that sort of the second subject that you're interested in?
Well, it was almost mixed in to all of it. It was kind of difficult to separate it out. I went to a class. I at the time was living in Denver, Colorado, and I went to a class for adult education series by a fellow who was, oh, he was wonderful. He's passed on now, but the paranormal was integrated into that particular class. As I recall, it was about a six-week class. And so it was just a mixture, Mike, of various introductions. It was beautiful the way that this whole thing knitted together. It was wonderful.
Right. Was there any particular information that you gained from that course that helped you to write your book?
I think one of the things thank you very much for asking that question, because that was, there was one experience that I had, and people were going to poo-poo the heck out of it, but I had never experienced being involved with a Ouija board.
Right.
But I got information off of the group got information off this Ouija board, and I checked it out the following Monday with Colorado State Patrol Accident Division, because the entity said that it had been killed by a car. Mm-hmm. And every bit of the information that I was given checked out. I mean, the woman read it right off of the accident report, just exactly the way this young man had told us on the Ouija board. Now, if you think that won't open up your eyes, nothing will, right?
Exactly, yes. But I have to say, it is generally accepted that the Ouija board is rather a dodgy means of communicating with spirit, and some people have had rather frightening experiences.
Well, that's probably because they go into it with fright. We're magnetic beings, electromagnetic beings, and so if we go in with trepidation and, oh, gee, I wonder who we're going to catch, Well, they're going to catch what they're afraid they're going to catch. But after that, I was involved in a group for 7 years, and the major connection of communication on within that group was with a Ouija board. It just blew me away, I'll tell you.
Right. Well, I've only ever had one experience with that, and it was quite unsuccessful, except for a swear word coming through, and that was it. So we never pursued that one.
No.
Anyway, that's, I think, covered your paranormal side, because I was interested to know how it might have fitted in with your spiritual work. Now,
well, Mike, I'm sorry, you would probably include ETs as paranormal, wouldn't you?
I suppose it all could come under the same heading, yes, but since you mentioned the paranormal, I was interested to know what you actually sort of learned.
Well, I learned that there's a whole lot more to this world, this life, this existence we're motoring around in here on this planet than we have any idea of. And we were able in this other group to contact captains of starships and all that type of thing. It was just amazing. But then again, we had protected ourselves by light, first of all, by white light. And secondly, we believed. You know, we believed that this could be done, so it was done.
Right. Now, sort of reading up a little bit on your views and comments about your book, I noticed that you have a message seemingly from someone you call the Andromedan. And it reminded me when you mentioned about extraterrestrials. Now, is that a source that you get a lot of your information from?
The Andromedan?
Yes.
You know, it's interesting that you reference that, because I don't recall that except just recently. They call themselves the Andromedan 5.
Yes.
Now, I was told some time ago that I originally came from Andromeda. So that's about as far, I guess, as I could go. I don't have that particular channeling here in front of me, so I can't refer to it. But, oh, yeah, my channelings have had signatures on them that are amazing, amazing.
Right, well, what followed on from that on one of your links was what was apparently a message from the Andromedan 5, and I wondered if I could ask you one or two questions relating to the information in there. It did indicate that we could bring our level of consciousness to a much higher degree in a matter of months. Do you think in the present conditions, with the amount of energy that's being beamed to the Earth and some indication that indeed our levels are increasing, do you think a noticeable increase might be possible in a very short time?
Of course. Why wouldn't it be? It has to do with our focus. It has to do with our desire. and, Mike, it better happen in a short time with a lot of folks, because the short time is upon us, don't you think?
Absolutely, yes. Well, I mean, we are in the year of 2012, which is considered to be the end of the solar cycle. So what do you actually think the outcome will be?
You know, that is a question that I wouldn't touch with a 40-foot stick. Yeah.
Come on. How about a short stick?
Oh, sure. I think it will be what we anticipate it will be. If we say, "Oh, it ain't going to be anything," then the person who lives in that world is going to stay in a world that is probably not as pleasant as the person who says, I can hardly wait. I believe that this whole thing is a beautiful adventure. I believe that the world as we know it is capable of all kinds of changes. I accept those changes. I love God. I love myself, and I love what may be. And it's all a matter of gratitude.
Right. I think that that's a very interesting comment you've made there, because I think what you're saying, in other words, which would relate to the way I think, is that we are actually creating our own reality.
Yep.
Right.
You got it.
Okay, fine. Now, I'm still referring to parts of this particular message, and it talks about saying that what we are doing is in alignment with the great plan. Now, the question immediately arises, do you know what the great plan is?
I doubt if there's anybody other than Source who knows what the great plan is, so I can honestly say, no, I sure don't. There's a fellow who is involved through a group called the Cosmic Connections Limited, who calls the Source the prime creator of all there is.
Yes.
And his name is Dr. Richard Presser.
Right.
So I would let anybody that wants to move into that direction, I encourage them to move with him. And I would encourage you to communicate or have him on your show too, Mike.
Right. Do you think, though, that if you can't put words in to express what the great plan is, do you think the immediate plan is to increase our level of consciousness to such a high point that we can actually ascend and leave the present three-dimensional Earth?
Apparently, that is what is coming toward us. The great plan, in one aspect, as I like to think of it, is that the human species is in a process of elevating its vibrations,
right.
and it is being accepted into the cosmic plan. The cosmic plan, yeah,
right.
And it's. That's about all I have to say about it. I have no assurances from anybody other than the fact that things are coming to us pretty rapidly, and we have the option. We can take it on, accept it, not accept it, just, you know, oh, goodness gracious, here it comes, and I'm so glad.
Right, now, where do you think that we originally came from? I mean, we're not really Earth people, are we? Not in origin.
Well, wait a minute, Mike. we're not physical in truth. We are spiritual energy, and we have functioned on a level of physicality, which has a fantastic design to it, within this vehicle we call the human form. We're not the human form. You know that. We're not
Absolutely.
The human form. We're just spiritual energy experiencing in human form, which is the vehicle of choice on this planet. And
yes.
We start looking at it from that standpoint, then we say, well, gee, what, I wonder what other forms are available on other planets. And of the group that we were in the late 80s, we communicated with energies that were on other planets, and they didn't have a physical form of any kind like we have.
Right. So, where did we come from?
We come from Source. We are units of consciousness.
Right.
Source is loving consciousness. Source is, as I understand it, Source is so fantastically powerful that it cannot focus on anything. If it did, everything would explode. So
yeah.
we experience for Source, and Sources, we're hooked up with Source. You know, I used to think of it as riding shotgun, but that's kind of
right.
That's kind of Western in its attitude, isn't it?
Right.
But we're hooked up with Source, and it's the only way that Source can experience is by way of each one of us. And my wife and I talk about it at the table from time to time. It is absolutely amazing what we are experiencing, and just think, Source experiences what I experience, what you experience, what the guy next door is experiencing, all at the same time.
Yes. Right, so if experiencing the human form is something we've done when in reality we are actually spirit, do you think that we are living in an illusion at the moment?
There's a good thing to get clarified. In comparison to what, not who, in comparison to what we truly are, this is an illusion.
Hmm.
That's really hard to get our head around.
Yes. Well, yes and no. I mean, if we're actually light beings, then clearly we are not originating from a physical form, or that isn't our natural form.
Well, we're not originating in this form. We've just slipped into this form and are experiencing here. We didn't originate here. Mm. You know that.
So would you say in reality then we are already cosmic beings and don't realize it?
Oh, yeah! You got it! Cosmic
right.
beings. We are cosmic warriors here on this planet, pal, I'll tell you. Because the challenge now is to wake up. Guys, wake up.
Oh, well, I agree entirely with you there. So, is that the purpose of life?
The purpose of life, as Source has informed me, and it's in my book, is to experience. That's the purpose of life on this planet. However, in this particular time lock, and that is not my phrase, that is a phrase given to me by an individual who illustrated my book and who passed away within the past year and has gotten onto my Houston team and communicated with me. This time lock is an extremely sensitive or special or unique, whatever word you want to use, within the frame of reference of the Earth, in its frame of reference with the solar system, and its frame of reference with the cosmos.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, indeed, yes. Yes, no, you're doing very well. I can go along with what you're saying. Yes, absolutely. So, let's state it, there is a purpose to life. Otherwise, there wouldn't, I guess, be much point in being here. But I think a lot of people can't believe that they've actually chosen the purpose of their life. And I guess many are quite unhappy about their experiences. If someone came to you and said that type of thing, how would you answer that to reassure them?
If the person was dead set on the on the idea that they're living a life of hell, then okay, they are, right? That's their truth. But, you know, what's really interesting to me is look at all the photos that are coming back from the Hubble telescope out in the cosmos. Now, that is a vast place. My friend who left and then communicated back to me with me said, I thought I was good with words, but this is vaster than vast.
Right, yes.
So, that being the case, it should be a possibility for any person who has any heart and heart orientation at all to recognize the fact that in some very real way, they are spatial. There's nobody else that has ever experienced what they've experienced. There's nobody else who's had the opportunity that they've had. So there has to be something of a real purpose to them being here. And if their life is not what they would like for it to be, there are, tons of books that says, well, then change your attitude. You know, well, I can't change my attitude. You know, okay, that's your truth, baby.
Yes, indeed. So, do you believe in reincarnation?
Oh, of course. I think reincarnation's gotten a real bad name. And I think one of the groups that have given it a bad name is the groups that saw to it that it was, taken out of any of the orientation that came along, what was it, the 3rd, 4th, 5th century, and they took it all out of there. Because we have such a poor slant on things, but now, you know, it's not hard to really think of cosmic. If you watch as many Star Trek Next Generation programs as I did.
All of them.
Yeah, right. And you know which one was so impactful? I mean, I just sat there and slobbered as I was watching it, was the one with the traveler. The real anemic looking guy, he was wonderful. I don't remember his name right now, but the guy who put that on really had a connection.
Yeah.
He was on the inside track.
Right. Of course, I think these type of programs are deliberately planned by people who are looking after our interests to acquaint us with other life forms and different types of looking beings. And I think this is very nice in the period we're in, because it is said that it won't be too long before we are officially introduced to the extraterrestrials.
Won't that be great? That would be so great. Yeah. Mm. And I'm quite sure that the reason we have not been contacted, but we have been, there's been evidence, of course, that the leaders at one point or another of this, in my lifetime, and I'm going to be 80 this summer, they've been contacted, and the decision was thanks but no thanks, we'll continue as we are, which was like turning the car clear around going back into the manure pile. But I think we're going to be joyfully welcomed. If, Mike, if we are of a frame of mind of no fear.
Yes.
Don't you?
I agree with that. Yes, absolutely. They've got to be welcomed, and they've got to, and we've got to know that they come in peace, and then I think we can do something.
Well, come on now. You know, that shoe fits on both feet. We got to come in peace. They have no ulterior motives. The laws are, you cannot interfere with another civilization.
Yes.
That's the law of the universe. You cannot interfere in any way with another civilization. So nobody's going to be of a problem for us. The human is being tested and is going to be tested. And if the human beings at this point of juncture coming at us, apparently at the end of this year, if we don't pass the test, it's going to be a sorry situation.
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a place for everybody, regardless of their views and opinions. But as I see it, the end of the year will bring us a wonderful opportunity to step up and out of this lower vibration.
Gratitude is going to be, I think, a key guideline for us to express for the rest of this year. I'm grateful we start our day, actually, Mike, at our breakfast table, saying how much we're grateful for this life experience. We're grateful for the food, and we're grateful for the opportunity to grow into the light.
Yeah.
But that probably would be more effective if that was a song we sang as we go through the day. Because it's going to improve the vibrational level that we have within us. Oh, let me say this. In a group we were in the 80s, there was a notification kind of given us that in our lifetime there would be situations where the electrons and photons and whatever would be expanding. Interestingly enough, I read in the paper just yesterday that there is an airline that is noticing that it is having problems with some of its wing struts. And they are separating. Hello! So, I'll between you and me and the gatepost, I'm not going on any airplanes probably after the ninth month of this year.
Right. Yes, it's funny you should mention that. I remember reading a long time ago in a message from space beings that as the vibrations increased, there would come a point where certain solid objects wouldn't be able to hold together.
Yep.
They would just start to break up.
Yep. And so that's going to be scary, Mike. Something.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. there we are. If that is what higher vibrations do, I suppose it's unavoidable. But no doubt we will be warned about that in advance. Now, in your book title, you refer to life as being a game. Now, that sounds as though it's just something you do for fun, but of course it's a very serious game affecting our future. So what would you like to say about the reference to it as a game?
The game is a cosmic game. And it's really difficult for people to get their head around that because they don't see themselves as cosmic beings. But if we come to the realization that we actually picked our parents and we decided to come in to this particular time lock, and experience, and set up a blueprint. We had help putting that blueprint together with coaches. Now, the reason I came to all this conclusion, and it is a conclusion, and I firmly am totally in trust of it, and that is through three or four different books, one of which I would really encourage people reading, that is Michael Newton's Journey of Souls, S-O-U-L-S, because they are all case histories of clients that he's had. And I won't go any further than that, but he's also on YouTube, Michael Newton, N-E-W-T-O-N. We set up our blueprint, I call it, and I've seen that reference made by other authors as to what it was we decided to do in this lifetime experience. Well, within this lifetime experience, there is a challenge. We came into these physical forms known as human, and the first thing we forgot was where we came from. So here's the game. Remember where you came from and what you are, and you've won the game. Well, why is that so much of a problem? Oh, because we're walking through this carnival of creations, having billions of distractions thrown at us over a period of years as to what to believe. And as we go through each day, we've got these distractions. Am I going to answer that phone? Am I going to get on the internet, or am I going to meditate? Right?
Yes.
Well, meditate is the primary job at this point. Meditate, get quiet, because that's the only way we're going to remember what we are. And it's the only thing that's going to remove us from fear. Fear is within the mass consciousness. I had the misfortune of experiencing that mass consciousness for just an instant. And I'm telling you, it was painful.
Mm-hmm.
It was painful. So it's either fear or love, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Pick your poison, right? What are you going to have? Are you going to operate in the mode of fear? Are you going to operate in the mode of love?
Yeah.
That is the next decision to make today, and it is something we must all be aware of, that it's coming down to love being our credo.
Mm-hmm.
And no option. Just love will be my credo, and I will see everyone as units of consciousness who are forgotten what they are, and they are living examples of love incarnate.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with that. In fact, spirit messages very frequently say that everything is powered by love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's confirming what you've just said there. Now, I must come back to this expression as calling life a game. Is it because in the ultimate, nothing happens to us as a soul, it is only an experience? So we don't have to, in that sense, perhaps take life too seriously. Would you agree with that?
Well, look around and look at the folks who do take it serious.
Yes, indeed.
Pain in the neck.
Oh, you agree with me then?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, we want to talk a little bit more about your book. What is the main message, do you think, that you give in your book?
Oh, it's my, I know this to be my purpose.
Yes.
For us to get to know that we are not a who we are, but a what we are. And that we are love experiencing, that we are a unit of consciousness, that we are not our body, and to try to see, try to remove ourselves from the distractions that are just, we're being bombarded by them every second. And at the same time, to recognize that the guy that's coming out of his house over there across the street, as I see him walking along the sidewalk, he is exactly, only with different experiences, he's exactly what I am.
Yes.
He is a beautiful spirit of love that's here expressing and experiencing. However, he's probably asleep.
Right. Now, you've mentioned that in your book, people can find out why there are so many light workers here at present. What is your answer to that one?
Did you know there's a website called Light Workers?
Not necessarily, no, it doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, the guy who's working on that is the guy who channeled the group called The Group. Real original there, isn't it? And his name is Steve Rother, R-O-T-H-E-R. And light workers are people, I think, probably who are committed and are starting to realize why they're here. So they're committed to encouraging folks to recognize that they are light and love, primarily. And because I know Steve is doing it, I got an email from him that says that he's got a seminar coming in here in the next 2 or 3 months where he's going to be teaching people how to move more clearly to the light. So, you know, and the man called Jesus was alleged to have said, I am the way, the truth, and the light.
Yes.
And I'm firmly accepting of the fact that there was much truth that was carried forward because it couldn't have been all smoke and mirrors that the church pumped into the book. So the truth of being truth and light has to open up some real subjects of conversation. What is light? Light is light, and you probably won't know it until you see it. But the people who pass out of this physical experience into what we call death, and I've quit using that word, Mike. I don't like the word death. Because it's not true at all. The images that we have of it are physical. And my friend is not dead, I communicate with him. My high school buddy is not dead, I communicate with him. And the descriptions they give of where they are is just, holy moly, beautiful. So, light workers are here. They are people who are writing books. You're one, obviously, very obviously, that you are a light worker. And I want you to know that I appreciate very much being asked to be on your show, because it gives me an opportunity to reinforce what you say. And because I know you worked at putting together this communication connection, and that's all a part of this this light worker effort.
Yes, I agree with you there, and I think people should realize that although they feel often very lonely and unsupported, in actual fact, they have many, many people around them that are helping them once they start searching for the truth.
Oh, amen and amen. Yes, we each have our own Houston, I call them.
Yes.
We don't send these guys out into space and let them float out there without any kind of support and connection and help, right?
Right.
Our astronauts, exactly the same with us. We have our own Houston. And the way I was introduced to them, Mike, I started hearing these strange tones. Beautiful tones. And it sounded like they were coming through one ear or another. And I thought, what is that? Boy, now there's something I haven't been hearing. But it sure is nice. So I sat down, got my tablet, and got quiet, and wrote what appeared on my blackboard in my head. They were, not visually, but sound, I don't know how it works, thoughts. So I would write them out. Well, as that continued, then I became more adept at it. And I decided I'd test it. Well, if we can get the message from the other side, then I'm just going to go to the top. We called in one of the groups that I was in. We called when we had connection with Jesus, calling the chairman of the board, and so I sat down one day and. With my tablet, and I wrote, "What is your will for me?" up on top of the tablet. And I sat very quietly, and as the thoughts would come, I would write them down. Now, this requires a condition of non-editing, okay? You don't say, you don't do that. You just say, okay. And here's how it started. As always, my will is for you to know freedom. To know the freedom of being. To know being free. What it has to offer in open freedom qualities and illusionary freedom aspects. Now you could, Mike, you could sit in a group and have an entire evening of discussion about that three-sentence paragraph. Because if we think about what's happening in the Mideast, those beautiful souls over there are coming to a point of knowing freedom, right?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? What's taking place if we understand what's taking place? They're coming to a point of knowing freedom. They didn't know it when they were younger. They didn't know it. But they're light workers, man. You know what a light worker? He's out there waving the banner. Leave your position, Mr. King. We want freedom.
Yes.
I see that as being a light worker, Mike.
I think freedom is the word, absolutely. And even in the countries like our own, where perhaps we've generally thought ourselves to be free beings, we can also see now how we've been, I think, manipulated and controlled, and we want out of that as well.
Absolutely.
So, right. Yeah. Yes, did you want to say something on that?
No, I was just saying here, here.
Oh, right. Glad you agree. Now, there is something in your book about what you have referred to as life after death. What did you want to say about that? Because maybe not too many people think about the consequences of passing over.
I find your use of words interesting. The consequences of moving over. You know, what I find interesting is the consequences of living in this physical form. Mm. Because it is so limited. We're told it's limited. When we were in a psychic group for 15 years, some of the energies that would come in would say, oh, so your form is so limiting. So what I have been led to believe as a result of my exposure to this, looking outside the box and experiencing outside the box, is that the consequences are here, man. The consequences, the idea of leaving this physical form is we place entirely too much importance on it. Too much importance. We place too much importance on this life. The only thing that's important about this life experience is the relationship experience that we get on an emotional basis. The rest of it is incidental. Because where we move to, grab or graduate to, is in no way, shape, or form in any way comparable to this mishmash. What did my buddy call it? I can't put my hands on it right now. But anyhow, he calls it a quagmire.
Yeah.
And this mishmash of, I'll get it here in a minute. So far too important, as far as I'm concerned, placed upon the life on this earth. He says, just another reason to be ready to leave that ever-increasing mess of a free will mishmash gone mad.
Right.
Because free will, apparently, is the only place, the only planet, of probably the only planet where free will is as wide open as it is. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, well, I guess it clearly indicates that since we all have free will, we must have a lot to do with the way our reality has worked out.
Oh, really? You're kidding.
No,
I believe you've got it. I believe you've got it, Mike.
Yes, I have, haven't I? Now, Randall, what part does Mother Earth play in the near future? Because she must also be affected by the changes in the energies.
I'm sorry, my earphones slipped and I didn't hear your question.
Right, okay. Are you back to normal now?
I'm back to normal.
Right. Okay, I was saying that Mother Earth must be affected by the changes in the energies. What place do you think she will have in the future?
I'm sorry, I didn't get who you're talking about. She?
Well, I'm referring to Earth as Mother Earth, so I call her she.
Oh, the planet. Okay.
Yes, indeed, yes.
Okay. Well, that's on a whole different level of what I doubt if we could even get our head around what Mother Earth is like. I'm sure she's in a world of solar connection. Our galaxy is a wonderment to me, and I haven't even tried to study it. I'm sure Mother Earth is in agony over what's being done to her and with her. And I'm not surprised she's not doing more in the form of earthquakes and volcanoes. Mm. But the fact that she is such a loving being, operating within a framework of the plan, I don't know that I could even address it, because this whole galactic orientation and formation is way beyond my comprehension, Mike. I'm sorry, I can't answer that question.
Well, I think you've done pretty well. Now, Randall, we're getting near the last few minutes of the program. I'd like you to take a minute or so telling people where they can get your book, and you may like to give them your website or any other information.
Thank you very much. Yes, I have a blog, and I wasn't able to get only one as a domain name, so I took only Uno. O-N-L-Y-U-N-O, and it turns out that that's seven letters. And on a physical plane, seven is a spiritual number, I found out.
Anyway, right.
I'm going to live by that. Anyhow, onlyuno.com and onlyuno.blogspot.com is my blog, obviously. But what I want to do with your listeners today, Mike, is I want to give them my email if they want to contact me, and I will send them my book, and they can send me whatever they feel like the book is worth.
Oh, that's brilliant!
I sell the book for $14.95 on the website, but I don't have any way to change that alteration. So if you'll send me your request at rcs@bendbroadband.com. RCS being my initials, of course, and Bend Broadband is the outfit down the road down here that I plugged into my emails and all my internet connections. Bend is a town in Central Oregon where
right.
I live. And so, bendbroadband.com.
Right.
I would love to hear from you, them, anyone, and they want my book, I'll send it to them autographed. And there's no way to send money on that internet, on that email, so you can get the book.
Right. Well, I'll have to bring the program to an end there. Thank you very much, Randall. It's been very interesting talking to you. You obviously know your own subjects extremely well, and it's been quite fun talking to you. I wish you every success with the book, and if people want confirmation of your website details, etc., it will be on the archived report, which will be on BBS. So thank you very much for coming on, Randall.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Right, friends, quickly tell you that my guest next week will be Cheryl Hirsch Kramer. She has a book called Soul Purpose ID, Aligning with Your Destiny, and that's what we're going to discuss. There is also actually a second book called Nine Roses for Chelsea, A Spiritual Journey, and Chelsea, in fact, was her soulmate dog. So that all sounds very interesting. Thank you very much for being with me today, and I hope you could make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.